Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Following an epic White Sox game, it's our political roundtable of Eric Elk, Ken Jakubowski, and Dave Lundy. We also have our internet geek Elliot Serrano and music from Chicago musician Ralph Covert. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, we are broadcasting live.
Friday night, a beautiful evening in downtown Chicago. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. It is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has the night off. She'll be back on Monday night, at which time Michael will have the night off. What's going on, Michael, on Monday night that you cannot join us, that you cannot be present for our show?
I will be in the great city of Denver, Colorado.
I'm very excited for you.
The Rocky Mountains.
Have you been?
I've never been. I drove through it when I was leaving Utah, when I went to school out in Utah and drove through it on a 24-hour trek, but I never have stopped through there. So I'm kind of excited about it.
I feel as though, for a young man, you have lived more life than I have. You've lived in Los Angeles. You went to school in Utah. Mm-hmm. I thought you grew up in Woodstock, but also you lived in Wisconsin. You're a musician. You're a man of all trades, is all I'm saying. You're like a Renaissance man, I think.
You know, I go by the motto of living your best life, and I think that there's not a lot to live, so you might as well just have as much fun as you can while you can have it.
Sounds good. I mean, last year you just decided, I'm going to Amsterdam. See ya.
Yeah.
Toodles.
That's
just
right.
Just left.
Well, that was... Because I didn't realize that I had so much I had vacation time, and I've never really had vacation time. And there was this great website called Wow Air, and I'm like, well, if I have the time, I've always wanted to go there, and nobody wanted to go with me, so I was like, I'll just go by myself.
Did he ask you, Elliot, if you wanted to go to Amsterdam? I don't remember that being a comment.
No, he didn't ask me.
Elliot?
You know, my question, though, Michael, you're going to Denver, Colorado. Is Michael J. Foxy also going?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I was going to look for an open mic night going on there. And if there is something in Denver, look out because who knows? I might come back. I might be on tour with the Grateful Dead by the end of the week.
So you are bringing your guitar to Denver?
No.
You're going to rent one?
Borrow one? I'm flying Spirit. I can barely bring a backpack.
You'll barely get both sides of the seatbelt.
Yeah,
so.
that airline they're really skimping on it. I'm down to 8 inches. I don't want to say that because of Nick's show. But,
bring quarters. Bring quarters to use the bathroom is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and just wear all your clothes.
Yes.
All your clothes. Even if you don't. I'll bring you into the conversation, Dave Lundy and Mike Lieber. I don't mean to leave you out of this. I was actually going to bring you in a moment because I know that Mike Lieber does mile runs. You do these things where you fly around the world just to get your status and earn more miles.
Exactly. Although I have flown Spirit a bunch of times.
And
frankly, they've all been fine because I've said for years all of the airlines have been kind of on a race to the bottom.
That's true.
And they've all won.
That is a good point. Although I have flown on Spirit, and when my plane was pushing away from the jetway, it made this noise. And that sounded like a plane that doubted itself. Like it was saying, we're never going to make it. Exactly.
No.
Don't make me go. No.
See?
No, it was saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can.
It wasn't that cheerful.
No.
It was not that cheerful. There's a reason why they call it Spirit Airlines, because the flight attendants do the sign of the cross when they give you the emergency instructions.
Oh, I thought it was because your whole body gets on, but only your spirit gets off.
I say.
See, we can go on and on and on. Sorry, Michael. I know you're flying with Spirit.
Yeah, Michael, great flight. Good luck.
Enjoy.
It's going to be a really good time. I can't wait. Can't wait. Hopefully, they just give us that bag of peanuts. That's all I'm asking for.
Yes.
But I think you need. They charge you extra for that.
Yeah, they charge you for that. Yeah.
And they charge you on a per nut basis.
Market. I want to send that to Nick D. I want to send that to Nick D's show right now. Right now, just mark it. They charge you per nut.
He needs his 8 inches.
It's Friday.
And they charge you per nut. Exactly.
Oh, I don't know what to say anymore. Are you guys...
it's not even after 11.
It's not. No. Are you mileage junkies? I know that you are, Mike. You're a mileage junkie.
Yes, I have done a mileage run for 24 hours to Amsterdam, great city, Singapore, Hong Kong, Rio.
I saw that you had done that last year, and I thought about doing it the last minute. And the thing is, I haven't flown enough this year for it to have made a difference, so I'm glad I didn't do it.
Yeah,
I'm not traveling enough.
At this point, I'm just doing it because I'm this close, and it's radio, so
just
my,
Yes.
My fingers are really close together. No, I'm this close to a million miles on United Airlines, so that makes you kind of premier exec for life.
I'm cashing in 350,000 miles for my trip to London and Dublin and Wales with the boys. We're flying to Dublin and then flying over. There's an airline called Flybe in England that it's like $45 one way to get from Dublin to Cardiff. Why wouldn't
I
do that?
It's like England's Spirit.
It is. That's what I've read. Yes.
Well, and you're making a good choice because we made the mistake. We're going to Israel in 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks, as you know. And we made the mistake of going using our American Airlines miles on. And the only flight we can get was on British Air, and it's through Heathrow, which sounds cool,
right?
Except when you fly through Heathrow, they charge you these outrageous fees and taxes and stuff. So check this out. We're flying business class. We 350,000 miles or whatever it was. We're flying business class, and the taxes and fees on per ticket basis were $1,100.
Per ticket?
Per ticket.
Yeah. See,
and wait, it gets better.
It's $4,400.
$4,400 to fly free. But wait, it gets better because after getting business class seats, you can't actually get a seat. So I went to go get my seat, and they're like, okay, we're happy to sell you a seat, sir, for $149 per seat.
Oh, no.
Per seat, per leg.
And that's when you cash in your miles. Per leg of the
flights. Wait. How did they not have a... How did you not have a seat when you cashed in your miles for business class seats?
So
what's
here's the
scam?
Thing. You can't reserve a specific seat, and I'm traveling with children, so I'd like to reserve. Now, British Airways informs me that, oh, no, we will make sure you sit with your children. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, sure, in whatever the worst seat in business class is, by the time they book the people with status and the this and the that.
The $4,400 seats.
Yeah, the $4,400 free seats.
That makes so much sense to me now, by the way. One of the reasons that we are flying into Dublin was I couldn't figure out why flying in and out of Heathrow was so expensive, and it was because they were charging almost $200 per ticket, even though I was cashing in pretty much, I think, about 35,000 miles each or something like that.
It's a scam.
It's crazy.
It's a scam. I've now learned that $4,400 later.
So don't fly to Heathrow.
Don't fly to Heathrow on British Airways.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime trip I'm taking with my family on. Declan's having a big surgery coming up for his... he's having spinal surgery. I've been very curt with people today, and I realize that I'm starting to get a lot of anxiety about it. And so Griffin, we were at this art exhibit today, and this woman said something to Declan, or was asking if he was okay, and I snapped at her, and Griffin goes, was that really necessary? When your 14-year-old is asking you if you're behaving appropriately, you know that you're a little bit stressed.
Oh, Eli's been doing that for me since he was 8.
Was that necessary, Dad? Was that really
exactly.
Necessary?
So when is the trip?
The trip is August. It's in August, so we've got a couple weeks.
That's awesome.
Yes. You know, so I realize you're not supposed to tell people when you're traveling.
Exactly. Now they know when to rob your house, basically.
Well, first of all, we have people watching the house, but secondly, like, people won't know. I'm not on the air. It's not
I think you're supposed to say, Patty, we have cops watching the house.
We have cops in the neighborhood. Many cops in the neighborhood.
Many cops.
You're taking a staycation.
I'm taking a... Yes. I'm just talking about going. But we're excited and nervous. It's our first time flying that far with the boys, so we'll see how it goes. I'm sure you've probably taken long flights with the kids.
Not with not that like kind of time zone. No.
And it's
we're nervous for the same reason.
Overnight flight, right?
It's about 7 hours to Dublin. It'll be 8 hours back, yes.
But
so
it's...
Over hours, yeah.
Yeah, so
we wake up there. We leave here at 9:30 at night and wake up there like at 10:30 in the morning or something.
Yeah. Right. That's not bad.
It's not too bad. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm in a good mood. We played Cards Against Humanity before the show, so I'm all raring to go. I never played that before. What is going on? Two kids from Highland Park is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, let's go to the news. Oh wait, this is for later. Do I have a sponsor for the news? Let me just check real quick before we little housekeeping. Excellent. Friday night in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We've got music coming up in just a little bit with Ralph Covert. Joining us in studio is Dave Lundy, the president and CEO of I keep trying to promote you, David.
I appreciate it, but not there yet.
Sorry, the president of Aileron Communications, and we also have Mike Lieber, who is an attorney. Attorney at law, and walk us through some of the... Is there another title you want me to give you?
No. Yeah, a Lieber Law Group.
Lieber Law Group.
Here in Chicago.
Where'd you get that name from?
You know, I was searching and searching, and it just kept coming back to me.
All right, then. Well done. Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer and also the director of education at the Anti-Cruelty Society.
Also a promotion, but thank you.
And also promotion?
Manager.
Manager. I like director back. I like that.
I like it too. So I appreciate that. I'm going to stick with it.
I'm going to make your business cards. Yeah, I just like to make things up.
There we go.
I'm just a radio host.
No, that's fine.
I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has the night off. She'll be back on Monday night. Friday night, we save up all the big headlines of the week to talk about them. But Dave, I'm just so tired. Can we not freak out tonight?
We have to freak out.
No,
Patty.
I don't think so.
It's exhausting.
Can I freak out?
Yeah, what do you want to freak out about?
Can I freak out?
Yes.
Yeah.
They announced the cast for episode 9 today. And? Mark Hamill is coming back.
Yes.
Of course he is.
And Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
They're gonna have Carrie Fisher in episode 9. They're gonna use some unused footage from The Force Awakens that I guess J.J. Abrams used, and they're gonna incorporate that into episode 9 so they can have Princess Leia give her goodbye.
Well, plus she was in a young Carrie Fisher who was not actually in Rogue One was in Rogue One.
Correct.
But
that was a little creepy.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought it was well done because plus she had just passed away. I guess that could either add to the creep factor or be a lovely tribute to her.
Well, I mean, you had a lot of dead people in that movie that were recreated through CGI. Peter Cushing.
Yes. I thought that was well done, too.
General Tarkin.
I had no problem
with that. I thought it was well done. Sorry. Thank you, Governor Tarkin.
Oh, pardon. See?
Ralph Clover joins me in the studio as well.
He has a microphone over there.
I knew I felt your, oh God, I just forgot the line. The line from Star Wars. By the way,
you should feel bad for the way you've been talking about Jar Jar too.
Why?
Because there's a lot of love for Jar Jar out there right now.
He is not in 9.
No, apparently the much of the plot revolves around him.
Well, Billy Lando is coming back. Billy D. Williams has been cast to come.
Oh, that's
back
great!
Really?
9. Yes.
Well, and the and Lando Calrissian in Solo is so much fun.
Oh,
and that backstory and that relationship he has with the droid, which is weird
Donald
but beautiful.
Glover steals every scene he's in.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. Is it terrible that I didn't go see Solo?
No. Why would it be terrible?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen every single one, but this time around, I was like, eh.
Yeah. But Mike, you're subbing for a guy in Ken Jacobowski who's never seen a single Star Wars movie.
Yes.
Well, that's just
weird. Sorry, Ken.
I'm sure Ken is listening right now on his drive to Michigan. So.
Oh, Ken. Ken, I hope that you have the opportunity to see the moon. I don't know if it's still shining on Mars. We saw that on the expressway. Elliot was like, oh, we can see Mars, right? It's the best we'll be able to see Mars for years.
Right.
And I was like, oh, where is it? And he goes, it's that glowing red ball right there, and I thought that was just a plane or something, but it didn't move, and I realized, oh, that's Mars.
Cool.
It's Mars. Beautiful. So I don't know if anyone could let us know whether or not it is still visible. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us. We were not able to see the lunar eclipse tonight. That was only visible in certain parts of the world, I think, in parts
not
of Africa.
North America,
not North America, right, Ralph. And I think it was at like parts of Africa, the Middle East. So he's breaking the poor Ralph. He's like, I gotta He's like, is this thing on? We're still settling into the studio, so don't worry if you break it. Everything is adjustable.
So the insurance hasn't.
Yes, it has. The warranty
has not lapsed yet.
No, I think we're very good.
You haven't gotten up to the deductible yet.
No, we're good on
we'll
that.
We'll go there tonight.
Yeah. So if you have had a chance to take a look at the beautiful full moon tonight,
it's beautiful.
It's really, and it was this glowing sort of yellowish orange earlier. I'm sure that's
the blood moon. It's the blood moon.
Mm.
So all you werewolves out there, folks, time to get freaky.
Yeah, is this when Team Jacob comes out?
Team Jacob. Team Edward is like so done. So
from Twilight.
So
are you kidding? Right. You want to see my Team Edward tattoo? Big tattoo on my chest.
I kind of don't. Okay, I'm glad on your chest.
None of us do, Mike, really.
No.
I was wondering why you're wearing sparkly makeup.
I'm going to Team Warren Zevon and just do Werewolves of London.
There you go. There you go. go.
What big movies have you seen this summer that you've enjoyed? Have you guys seen any? See, I'm avoiding Freak Out Friday because I just...
I appreciate that, Patty.
My wife saw Eighth Grade today.
Oh, I heard that was great.
It was terrific. Yeah. Just terrific.
That's by a comedian named Bo Burnham, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Said it was great. I don't know anything about it.
Me neither.
Other than it involves a girl who's in eighth grade.
Well, there you go. Perfect. That works out really well.
Yeah, I want to see The Captain.
Which one's The Captain?
It's a German movie about a guy that ends up getting a captain's uniform and turning into a real wacko,
I feel like he was choosing
guy. No, he's a runner. He's like on the lam, accidentally in the middle of World War II, gets a German captain's uniform, and then ends up taking on all the attributes of it and becoming like super cruel and super evil
because he's put on the layer of the Nazi image.
Well,
sort of
because
he kind
of is using it to survive and to not get caught.
Right. Well, what will you do
the
for survival?
The feel good hit of the summer.
Yeah. Don't get me started. My husband is so he's like, are you really watching these series? I'm watching on Hulu. I finished every single episode of The Handmaid's Tale, and then I started watching Sharp Objects. And it's all this. It's very all sort of sad and maudlin. And
these do not look attractive to me. I'm sorry.
Oh, Handmaid's Tale is such a beautifully done series. I cannot even begin to tell you. I know it's for a lot of people. It's corny or it's stupid. For other people, it feels too real.
Do you have to drink heavily while you're watching?
More for Sharp Objects, I think.
Okay.
Than for Handmaid's Tale. I don't. Well, because especially since it's so biblical and the story of Jacob and Rachel, because Rachel couldn't have a baby, and it's this dystopian future where the women are they're not able to have children, or they're not sure why. They start to realize that maybe it's also the men, but they talk about one town in Mexico that hasn't had a child in 6 years. So they decide these societies start developing all over the United States, and they overthrow the government. They blow up Congress. They attack the White House under the guise of it being a terrorist attack, but it's actually them, and they take over the government, and it's still their own sort of society based on the Bible.
Interesting.
Yes. The feel-good hit of the summer.
Yeah, it is really exhausting. From the 219, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter are all visible from the Michigan City area.
Ooh, cool.
I am super jealous of you guys. So 312-981-7200, what are you seeing
now,
in
the
sky?
Now, can they tell us which direction? Because what view? We've got an east view and a north view from the studio.
Well,
right?
We saw it on the south. We saw Jupiter in the south.
Well, Mars.
I'm sorry, Mars. Yeah. I apologize. Yes, it was Mars because it was red.
Well, I usually see Venus west.
Venus and Mars.
Oh, look, someone's sending us a picture. Mars, bottom right, from the 773. Yep. Thank you very much for that great photo. And also of your neighbor's satellite dish. I'm sorry that that's in the way. That seems like a shame that you're...
But by the way, Ralph, thank you for the Venus and Mars are all right tonight, because I was about to do that. It sounds much better coming from you. I'm just saying.
There you go. Let's take a quick break here and see if we can set up for some music with Ralph Covert. It is Freak Out Friday, but I'm stalling, as you can tell. I'm so many
things.
And
I was tempted, Patty, when you talked about Mexico, the Mexican town that didn't have children in 6 years, I almost said, and Donald Trump rejoiced. But I held back because I knew you don't want to go there.
Did. And there it is. Yeah. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has the night off. She will be back with us on Monday. More in a moment with our guests on 720 WGN. Music with Ralph Covert from, is that from your new album?
That's a medley of my hit from back in the day.
Oh, it's a medley of your hit. You're already doing medleys of your own hits.
It's a joke. This is one song.
I was going to say, I don't know what's happening. See, this is what, Elliot, you've seen me do medleys of my own material, comedy.
Yeah.
I think I just did some a little while ago.
Yeah.
I did my
best. You remix your one joke.
Exactly. That's what that was. That was Not Dead Yet, which is still my favorite Ralph song.
Well, thank
always.
You.
I am stalling our Freak Out Friday segment because I don't know. I've asked the guys off the air, what do you even want to talk about? I can't.
You can.
I can't.
No, you can.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's give a song first.
Yes.
What do you? What would you like to play for us today?
Well, Dave was asking about the birthday album. That's one of his favorites of my acoustic records. And there's a song on there about a blind tightrope walker named The Amazing Romero. And it seems with avoiding the freakouts, a blind tightrope walker seems like the a good way to go.
All right, so the name of the song is Blind Tightrope Walker?
No. That would have been if it was a Star Wars song. No.
Okay, so that's what's...
The Amazing Romero.
The Amazing Romero. Here is Ralph Covert with The Amazing Romero.
I found myself wavering on the edges, 200 feet up above the clowns and the freaks. And this canvas sky has no stars or moon, and the big top band plays out a key. I woke with a dream of you on my pillow, the smell of the sawdust swept you away, and I'd open my eyes to look at my life, but I don't understand what I should see. And if love's not blind, if love's not blind, then it's probably, if love's not blind, then it's probably me. The rattle of train wheels keeps me from sleeping, and a Niagara moon stares bloodshot at me. When faithlessness sticks her hands in my coat, and the cold winter wind stiffens my cheek, if love's not blind, if love's not blind, then it's probably, if love's not blind, then it's probably me. Saturday night, the tent is dizzy with people, watching the blind man walk 200 feet high. And he's too far away to tell if he really can't see. But the tightrope hums under my feet. And if love's not blind, if love's not blind, then it's probably, if love's not blind, then it's probably me. One of these days I'll try the flying trapeze.
Yeah. Woo! Across the world. That's Ralph Covert with the Amazing Romero, and you have an event coming up, a live event coming up soon, don't you?
Quite a few, yeah.
Yeah, we have something at the Space in Evanston. Yes,
yes? Album release show for the new album Welcome to Deadsville.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, August 12th, 7:00. We're going to play the Welcome to Deadsville album in sequence, and then we're going to follow that by playing the Ida Godot's album, which just celebrated its 25th anniversary. We're going to play that album in sequence too, a bunch of other surprises as well. It's going to be a really amazing show.
We have a listener who wants to join the conversation.
All right.
We have Rich on the phone. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I just wanted to chime in. And, Ralph, I just wanted to say, you know, you were acquainted with DeAngelis, Ralph DeAngelis.
Good friend of mine. Back in
the, yeah, right? And, you know, he had the place on Wayne and Wrightwood. You used to come in and do a little impromptu.
No, Verona.
And Verona, exactly. And I'm the guy. Actually, you know, we saw you at Sheffield Garden Walk back in the day. And I was the guy standing at Verona saying, you know, when you were taking requests, I would say, not dead yet. I always wanted to hear you play Not Dead Yet when you're playing all the other stuff. So I'm just a, you know, just a big fan.
Thank you.
And that's one of my favorite songs of all time. And I'm glad you wrote it.
Hey.
Well, thank you very much, Rich.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening, Rich. We're thrilled to hear from you. And make sure you guys have one of his shows he's got coming up.
Excellent day. All right.
Excellent.
You guys, enjoy.
You too. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Time now for a quick break. Oh, Dave, we're out of time. We can't get to Freak Out Friday. More after this on 720 WGN. Nope. We're not freaking out, Michael. Make it stop. I can't. I have some important housekeeping to take care of, Michael, on the air. I think that we need, there's an issue that we have not cleared up on the air. Those of you who were listening last week, we had a listener call in who used an off-color word that both, Michael, don't you think we both hit the dump button in time, Michael? I felt that we had.
Absolutely, yeah. If not exactly on time, many times in a row.
Yes, we kept hitting it. We're like, make it stop. Stop saying that word. So we need your help, listeners. This half hour, we are going to do one word. I'll dump it, and I need you to tell me what word it was that I dumped. I don't know any way to explain it, but obviously, I think it'll be clear what. Let's say I'll do it right now. I will just. I'm just going to go ahead and
hold on. Let me get you a little bit of a mm-hmm. fanfare here.
And I believe that Michael is calling this call. It's what's that dump? What's that dump? So what's that dump right now? Sometimes, you know, actually there was a listener who called me, John Williams, and several other people here. I think I didn't mean to say that. All right. So did that word make it out in the air?
See, did you dump it?
I did dump it.
Okay.
Because you have about 7 seconds to dump it, and I turn. Would you say I hit that button within 7 seconds?
Definitely.
So 312-981-7200. What name did they listen? They're not a listener because they don't like me and John and Eric Zorn. They don't like the Mincing Rascals, so they called us this name.
That was kind of risky that you would say that, and then
I know.
I mean,
and then what if the dump button doesn't? Yeah, what if the dump button doesn't work? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. But you have to be listening on a terrestrial radio. If you're listening online, you did hear the word, and I really need to do a tech check here.
Yeah, there's no rules online, so it's not as fun.
It's Thunderdome online.
How do we check to make sure that someone's listening on terrestrial radio? Because someone from the 312,
right?
Yeah, 312-981-7200. What name did a tweeter call me and John Williams and Eric Zorn, Scott Stantis, call us all this name, which I thought was completely unnecessary and an inappropriate use of the word?
Well, not for Stantis.
It's a name call. That's he wow. Is that? I don't know.
Kidding,
about
Scott.
All right.
He's a double that.
312-981-7200, and I have a prize for the person that can help us with our tech issue, but I really need to be able to trust you that you're listening on terrestrial radio, because if you're listening online, everything we say does happen live, and there's no way for us to dump it. So there is a button that gives us catches us up to the real time. Oh, maybe it is working. Oh, wow. So this is good. So hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Patty, how you doing?
Very well. So what?
We've spoken in the past. I'm a fellow Jeff Parker.
Hey, go Jeff Parker.
Okay. So tell me again, and I'll try to fill in the blank.
Oh no, it was. So you heard me talking, and then all of a sudden it just sort of blacked out a little bit. There was a gap in the conversation.
Yeah, I did not catch any word. No,
you did not catch any word. Interesting. So perhaps our dump button is working. So.
I think it's working.
It's working. So what happened that night? Do you think that maybe they fixed it since then?
Maybe. But I think that we should keep trying it through the night just to make sure.
Just to make... Okay, we will...
But
yes.
If I may, I mean, the word... The first word that I thought you were about to say...
No, what?
Get ready for the dump.
Yeah, but the finger on the button.
Here we go.
I will be kind. I was thinking a-hole.
Oh. No, it was not. It was not that. But
should we give him a clue that it is?
No,
actually,
it's okay.
It's actually not a bad word.
It's not. But here's the thing: the fact that he didn't hear it means that he helped us with our tech check. And I do. Have you won a prize from us in the last 60 days?
I have not.
So I have. Let's see what I have for you. I have a prize for you. I do have. Can you get yourself to part of the adult adventure package in Northwest Indiana? There's a zip lining adventure for you.
Ooh.
With treetop obstacles and zip lining.
Okay, that sounds cool.
It's really, really fun. I've done it. It is a blast. Hold on the line. And because you joined our adventure, we're sending you on an adventure, a two-hour adult adventure package for two at Northwest Indiana Deep River Aerial Park. Climb through the treetop obstacles and soar through zip lines. Fun for adventurers age 8 to 88. Book online at edgeadventureparks.com. Oh, we do have time for freaking out now.
Where
I was
is
really
that?
Hoping. That is it's in Northwest Indiana.
Right.
I've been there. There's a
Because
really...
I love, my family, we love ziplining.
I saw that you were wearing a shirt that says ziplining. Have you been to the...
Yeah.
Yes.
That was not planned. I didn't even notice. Yes, I am.
You reminded me that I should give that package away by wearing that shirt, so I appreciate that.
I'm here to serve.
I will look up for you Northwest Indiana. It's not that far away. It's real easy to get to. But the when we went, it was so much fun. We went at Halloween. Did you see my video where we had zombies chasing us?
Yeah, zombies freak me out. So well,
they're not always
that.
There. They're
oh,
not.
You were at the RNC convention?
Nice.
He's trying to throw it in there. We're not doing it.
Freaking out is coming.
We're not freaking out. Hold on, let me see. Can you look up Northwest Indiana, the Deep River Aerial Park, of Indiana that's in?
So now, Patty, are you a little terrified as you take that first step off the zip line or no?
You know, they train you so well on how to clip all of your, you know, all the equipment to the cables every step of the way. And there is a huge obstacle course. And you can just climb to where you're ziplining as well if you just want to climb to that platform. So they do such a great job when you're in the harness, and I've done it a few times. So I think the first time I was a little bit nervous, especially on some of those rope bridges. Sometimes you're just on a cable walking across holding onto two other cables, which is daunting. But once you've done all of that, ziplining down feels pretty cool.
They have the one zipline, like the tallest one up there. It is incredible. And when we did it, I remember you actually feel safer on the line than you do when you're climbing up everything. When you're climbing up, it's all the work.
Yes.
The moment you get on that line and you're flying, you're like, oh, this is what I came here for. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do it
free falling.
There we go. We've got a music bed for the whole show. See, I'm not going to be able to freak out. I'm just going to be mellow and listen to some.
Minocqua, up in far northern Wisconsin, Northwood Zip Line, and they've got zip lining and an aerial park and these rope lines. And so this past summer, it's still this summer. Earlier this summer, Eli and I were up there, and we in this ropes course they do is really intense, like hard.
Oh, really?
Like you're on these swings that aren't attached to each other, and they're really tiny, and you're like walking on ropes and stuff, and it's really, really, really hard. Unlike most of the aerial stuff I've done historically, this stuff is not for the faint of heart.
I thought this was a pretty hard course, wasn't it?
It's
in Merrillville, Indiana.
Merrillville, 9001 East Lincoln Highway in Crown Point.
There you go, Crown Point, Indiana.
But Merrillville.
Very close.
And Edge Adventures Deep River. They have
so fun.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's very cool. And you know, the Forest Preserve has one in as well. They've got a great zip lining course. Have you been to that one?
I haven't.
It's near, Willow Springs. I thought it was pretty cool.
And what happens if you're up there on one of these ropes courses?
And you change your mind?
And you're just stuck, or you're just freaking out.
They'll rescue you.
Trying to stay away from the freak out. They have means to get up there and rescue you?
Well, they're with you.
Yes.
Okay. They don't just let you wander around yourself.
On this one, you do.
Yeah, they're pretty hands-off.
Wait, they really?
Yeah.
I did one like that up in Nova Scotia, and I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, you're not that high off the ground.
They're nearby.
Yeah. And they're nearby, but you're the whole time you're on a safety line.
You're tethered. Yeah.
You're always tethered. So that was the thing that got me. If I got halfway across and let's say I split my pants or something, I have no choice but to complete this thing. Oh, on top of that, you have to do the entire course before you can disengage before you can disengage your safety.
Do you have a safe word?
Help?
You know, like, help, I don't know.
I'm not going to make it. I give up. I surrender.
Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I think the safe word is,
I nincompooped my
pants.
There you go. I thought it doesn't have enough time to reset, does it?
I think it has. You have a 7-second buffer, I believe.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know how the dump button works at all.
Oh,
so I think somebody fixed it.
Yeah, I think
so enough
too.
People were like, hey, I think we got a problem over here.
And Libra, what'd you call it? A take a dump button?
No, what's that dump?
What's that dump?
Oh,
right.
Man. Now we got to dump that.
Can we dump that whole last 15 minutes? Oh, look, not enough time to freak out. More after this on 7:10. Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has the night off. She'll be back on Monday night. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we want to thank Aubrey for making sure that our musician is sounding as good on the air as he does in studio. Typically, we start talking about all the big headlines of the week, and we go through all the crazy things that have been happening, and I've hit maximum overload. I can't do it anymore. I've decided we want more music from Ralph. Here he is with The Year of Things Unasked For. Is that the right title?
That is the title song. Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Hello there. I'm in the cathedral.
That's a lot of reverb right there. All right, here is Ralph Covert with The Year of Things Unasked For.
Now we see there's reasons for the things that seemed like mysteries to us then. Exactly who we were was not the same as maybe who we should have been. 'Cause it's easy to conceal the changes that we'd rather not deal with. And it's late September in the year of things unasked for. The year of things unasked for. Someone on the outside should have told us we were bleeding from within. We were so afraid of drowning, we forgot that we knew how to swim. But you're only in the dark as long as you give in to the darkness. And it's late September in the year of things unasked for. The year of things unasked for. And I made up my mind without consulting the obvious answers. And I never could admit I was cheating myself by repeating the question, making the best of an avoidable problem, trapped between common sense and a solution. Stupidity is such a stupid reason for the stupid things we did. Heartless as it seems, maybe we're better off without the tears we shed. We tried our best to be good. Now it's too late to try being selfish. And it's late September in the year of things unasked for. The year of things unasked for. The year of things unasked for. The year of things unasked for.
Such a great song.
So much fun. Thank you so much, Ralph Covert. When is your next live gig?
My next live gig is in Crown Point tomorrow night, a private party show, though.
Oh, and then you go ziplining afterwards.
Exactly. The next big, actually, we're playing, what is coming up? Saturday, August 11th, mm-hmm. We're going to be in Batavia for the Music
cool.
Matters Fest. Ralph's World is playing at 3 o'clock. The Bad Examples are playing at 8. Actually, no, that's not true. On Friday, I'm playing at Plainfield Library. Then Saturday in Batavia, Music Matters Festival. And then... and on Tuesday, I'm playing in Algonquin at the library there. Sunday, the big one, Sunday, August 12th, Space in Evanston, Welcome to Deadsville album release show.
Wonderful. And we also have a listener who said, Jana says that your music, your CDs, were her kids' link to rock and roll.
Excellent.
So that's a lot of fun. What were some of the big, like for me when I was a kid, one of my favorite albums, look at me not going to Freak Out Friday. Can't do it. Although I will, you know what, Eric, did you want to join us for Freak Out Friday? I've been putting the brakes on Freak Out Friday, but I don't want to put you on hold either. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
I am well. How are you?
Very good. There's a lot of news. There's a lot to cover.
Eric, she's not letting me freak out.
No.
Nile Rodgers and Sheep did a great job with Freak Out. Now we're done with that topic. Okay.
Yes, exactly. What was that, Eric?
Deep breaths.
Well, is there anything that's concerning you, or are you also trying to just not really, like, everything is a shiny object this week. Everything feels like, whether it's recordings or there's more information about meetings with Russia. But did you guys see the picture of Mueller and Donald Jr. in the same part of the airport? There's a picture.
No, I missed it.
It's like Donald Jr. is like right over Mueller's shoulder. I'm like, he's right there.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Was that real?
That was real.
Yeah, it was like gate 35X at Reagan National.
Yeah.
It's just National.
It's just national.
We don't call it Reagan National.
So there's,
yeah, I mean, there's so much, so many different things going on. I mean, whether, you know, like you say, the recordings, everything that's going on with trade, you know, we're going to have tariffs, and now we're going to put a Band-Aid on to fix that. I mean, I can't keep up with it every day.
No, that's the thing. That's why I just figured, you know what? We'll just chill and have conversation. What I was going to ask Ralph is, was there an album that was like that connective tissue that Jana said her kids had to rock and roll? Because for me, one of the really cool things when I was a kid listening to was Free to Be You and Me.
Oh, sure.
I was going to say the same one.
It was wonderful. And all these actors, like Marlo, I remember Marlo Thomas is on it. I think Lily Tomlin is on it.
Rosie Greer
was on it. I wanted to be in. And Mel Brooks is in it.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, my.
Was Michael Jackson in it?
Oh, I don't know if Michael Jackson
I don't think Michael
was.
Jackson. But the Mel Brooks.
Oh,
the
baby
Mel Brooks
one.
Is the baby?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was so awesome.
It was wonderful. So I was wondering if there was a. Because I'm not musically inclined, but that was both humor, obviously, and music and storytelling. Right. That, I mean, I had the book, I had the album, I listened to it all the time. It was wonderful.
I didn't really listen to kids' music as a kid. The closest I would come that was a touchstone for me, if you guys remember Walt Kelly's Pogo comic strip, there was a Pogo album.
Oh.
There was?
Walt Kelly actually wrote an album of songs, and it's a 1950 album of songs from the Pogo.
Huh.
Oh, I had no idea.
I did not know that either.
Did you? You said you Free to Be You and Me as well?
Free to Be You and Me, and then when I was like 10 years old, my best friend at the time gave me my first album, which was The Wall by Pink Floyd.
Even I know that. Michael, yeah. Can
did you
mark
just
a moment?
Say The Wall by The Who?
Mark
the moment when I got something right about music. I need that to be written down somewhere, carved into something. Thank you.
But for a 10-year-old, it was like the most depressing music. I'm like, I want to go back to Free to Be You and Me.
Mama?
Yeah.
Well, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
Exactly. It's like, I'm 10.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But see that's the thing. So when Eli was born, and Ralph had just, I think, was deeply into his Ralph's World kids music.
Yeah.
And the whole idea was rock and roll for kids, to try to get kids to, you know, appreciate having good kids music, since most of the kids music was, you know, kind of dreck.
Right.
And so...
Not that any of our friends who are child musicians are for
no, and now there are
groups.
Some good, you know, yeah. Of course. But so Eli...
You mean rather than the Wiggles?
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, rather than that dreck. and so Eli actually grew up with Ralph's World stuff. And then there was a certain point when he's like, Dad, I want to listen to Grown Up Ralph.
Aww, so, that's cool. See, that's great. Eric, do you have a transformative record from when you were a kid?
Man, I don't know. I think the one that I liked a lot was actually the Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And... that was pretty cool for me.
See, you guys went right for the hard stuff. Let's take a break here. 312-981-7200. See how I'm avoiding the freak out? I'm just going to talk about music.
Tariffs.
More bailouts. More to moment on 720 WTN recorded. This week, Michael Cohen, fixer for President Donald Trump, launched a full-out war against the President of the United States by releasing audio recordings between him and, at the time, candidate Donald Trump, in which they talked about a payout to former Playboy model Karen McDougal, and also an accusation that Trump knew about the much-discussed June 2016 meeting between his top campaign officials and a group of Russians. And it does seem as though Cohen is dead set against making sure he is heard in regards to the President of the United States, and wants us to know that there's something nefarious going on, or that he has more information. And Eric, what were your thoughts when you saw this start to unfold earlier this week?
This could spell real trouble. Although sometimes I wonder how credible of a guy he is. I mean, Michael Cohen's definitely been an interesting character, but it definitely puts a new dynamic into this whole story now, I think could be really interesting.
Do you think he's got a deal with special counsel? This is why he's kind of flipping? Because before he was like, nothing. No, you guys don't think he has a deal?
No,
I don't think he does yet. No way.
No.
No, in fact, what's really interesting is that he, remember, for the last several months, he basically has been begging Donald Trump to pardon him. And he's been getting no love from Donald Trump, although Rudy Giuliani about 3 months ago did talk about what a great lawyer he is and how credible he is and how honest and with great integrity he has, all of which Rudy Giuliani said the exact opposite last night.
What?
So he tried to get Donald Trump some Trump love. He didn't get Trump love. Now he's trying to get Mueller love, and Mueller's not giving him the love either. And so Michael Cohen's kind of like a man without a country at the moment.
That's so weird. Do you think he's trying to... Go ahead, Mike.
I also think he was trying to get some Trump money, because you know, just like Trump, he probably doesn't have anywhere the money that he claims he does, and I think he wanted Trump to kind of bail him out and pay for his legal fees.
What if he's trying to get a pardon? Elliot, what do you think? You think Cohen's going for a pardon?
Oh, please. You know, I'm just amazed that any of these people practice law. that these people ever got the positions of power, that Rudy Giuliani is out there going, well, we talked to everyone who was at the meeting, and they confirmed there was no meeting. What was that?
Yeah.
No, that's something like Giuliani said on the air. Like, again, doing this weird brain word salad that he's contradicting himself, and people are like, what?
Well, here's the thing. They're all slimy liars. Trump.
Oh, I thought, I'm sorry.
Hey.
I'm sorry. Hey. I'm sorry. There's two attorneys in the room.
Actually, no, I'm a recovering lawyer. Could say that.
Yeah, all right, then. Sorry, Mike.
But no, Michael Cohen is a slime ball. He is a disgusting slime ball. I don't know if anybody's ever heard he was caught on tape with a reporter. The reporter was going to write about Donald Trump during the campaign.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Cohen was on tape with this reporter saying, if you do that, I am going to mess you up. But he didn't say mess. He said, what I'm going to do to you is going to be disgusting. It's going to be revolting. There's going to be nothing left of you when I'm done with you. And he went on and on and on. That's who Michael Cohen was. He's a bully. He was Donald Trump's little bully. Well, Donald Trump's, of course, a lying bully, and Rudy Giuliani is a lying bully. So, like, all of them, none of them have any credibility whatsoever, because every single one of them has been caught with big, fat, hairy lies.
There's only one small problem.
What's that, Roger?
No, it's David.
Oh, sorry, David.
The small problem is, how do you convince his hardcore supporters that what you just said is a provable fact?
I think that we were talking about this a little bit off the air. There's a couple of things at work here. One, the economy. I think that a lot of people are like, this is exactly what I wanted. He's doing everything that I voted for him to do. I wanted him to go after China. I wanted him to go after immigrants. I wanted him to put conservative justices on the Supreme Court. So that's one thing. The other thing is the culture of being a Republican, and the same thing for Democrats. There's a culture of being a Democrat, being a liberal, being a conservative. conservative, whether it's for conservatives about protecting gun rights, pro-life or pro-birth, however, or forced motherhood, whatever way you want to put that. For liberals, it means, you know, making sure that the government helps people and putting services into place. And a lot of people call that too big of government. And I don't, there's so much that is about identity politics. It's about how you feel. And I think a lot of Republicans feel like this was what they wanted. And the same thing for Democrats, feel like this is exactly what they were afraid of.
But here's the thing, that you're absolutely right. He's got a huge approval rating among Republicans, but the percentage of people identifying as Republicans
is
has
getting
shrunk
smaller. Interesting
significantly.
Number.
It's down to like 26% of Americans identify themselves as Republicans, and that's way down as compared to, I think it's 38 or 36 for Democrats.
So the group is smaller, but feeling more strongly about
Correct.
Why they voted for President
because a
Trump,
lot of,
which is interesting.
A lot of would-be Republicans, a lot of my Republican friends no longer identify as Republicans. Very famous Republicans have come out and said, I can no longer identify with my party because my party is falling in line with what they view as unacceptable and un-American.
And Eric, I know a lot of guys in the Republican Party feel like we can salvage what our party stands for. Are you getting that sense from a lot of your peers?
I think there's some folks who feel that. I think there's a lot of folks who also feel that, you know, while they... The party has left them and, you know, kind of shifted away from core principles that so many folks believed in, whether it was, I mean, especially this whole notion on this free trade issue. I mean, the notion that we're going to get into this trade war with China, I mean, it just makes that region of the world that much more unstable. And it's very problematic on many fronts.
And you're also seeing it with some of the senators, Republican senators, with the $12 billion bailout for farmers, who are saying this is not our core value. You know, this is
Correct.
Essentially welfare. And what makes it even worse is it's like, hey, let's go out and create a problem that didn't exist. And then let's take $12 billion that we don't have to maybe partially solve this problem that we just created. Goes against everything that, you know, core conservatives actually stand for.
Well, frankly, it goes against what a lot of liberals and moderates stand for. I mean, I've been a free trader my entire political life. Used to get into arguments with left-wing, you know, Democrats, union Democrats in the 80s who wanted, import quotas so that you couldn't import foreign cars because they were better than American cars. Well, guess what? The competition from the foreign cars made American cars better, and now American makes some decent cars. And so I don't get this protectionism. And so I have this horrible cognitive dissonance between this and Russia, the Putin thing. Vladimir Putin has an approval rating in the Republican Party of like 35%.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's just nuts. So everything that Republicans believed, as I've been an adult and politically active human being, and probably, Eric, everything you've believed as a Republican, is opposite of what Donald Trump is getting these Republicans to go along with today.
It's
correct. I mean, there's Republican groups that are out there now doing TV ads basically saying, you know, free trade is good, and, you know, showing clips of Ronald Reagan talking about free trade and, you know, scenes from Harley Davidson factories and things like that. I mean, you have right, very much right of center conservative groups who are putting ads out saying free trade is good.
The Koch brothers. The Koch brothers are doing that. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying free trade
roundtable.
Is good and immigration is good.
Correct.
And it's not being embraced today by the Donald Trump and the
from the three.
Most importantly, people need to start putting country ahead of party.
Well, but I think a lot of conservatives, in particular Trump supporters, feel like they are. And this goes to, you know, voting for somebody who does exactly what they were hoping he would do. From the 331, Trump was elected. To say that only 20-something percent identify as Republican is misleading. That's only the amount that publicly identifies. So I'm not sure if there are people that don't want to publicly say they're Republican. maybe?
No, I mean, this is the same methodology has been used by pollsters for decades. So the notion that suddenly people are behaving differently than they ever have over the course of the last 50 years is just, you know, with respect, not fair, not accurate. People aren't identifying as Republicans because Donald Trump is the head of the Republican Party, and a lot of people are becoming increasingly uncomfortable with that. A lot of my Republican friends, a lot of my Republican consultant friends, people like Eric are not comfortable with where the party is today.
But everyone's riding his coattails, though. I mean, you have everybody they're afraid of the base.
The backlash, that, yeah.
They're afraid of the base.
They're afraid of the base, and let's face it, the base shows up. That's why you can't alienate that base. You can say all you want, well, they're wrong, whatever, but they show up to vote until another counter appears at the ballot box. You know, you're just going to have to, it's just a reality.
Right. We keep hearing about all these Republicans who are saying, you know, behind closed doors, Republicans in the House and in the Senate saying, we think this guy is unhinged. We don't like what he is doing. We don't think he's a good, decent human being, but we can't say anything because one or two tweets from him during our primary, and all of a sudden, we're Mark Sanford from South Carolina. We're out of a job.
Think about too. You know, there's also on the Democrat side, there are candidates who are not coming out against the president. Take Kelly, who's running against Mike Boss down in Southern Illinois. You know, he talks about, you know, being pro Second Amendment. He's very much a conservative Democrat, and he will not trash or, you know, he steers clear of taking shots at the president.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. Absolutely true.
I think that what's hard now because of how polarizing social media is and even conversations like this on talk radio is talking about the things that how we're more alike than we're different. You're talking about how we all want clean air. We all want better education for our kids. We all want to be able to walk down the street and feel safe. We all want there to be just a better life for the people in our community, for our families. We want America to be someplace that we're proud of. And we are proud of being Americans, and I know that there's, you know, the Make America Great really is obviously something that brings people in, but we seem to be unable to talk about the things about how we're similar anymore. We're not able to make that middle ground anymore.
Well, I think that was one of the big effective things that the Russians did by fomenting so much strife by deliberately building conflict on issues that had divisiveness in their nature, but by ramping that up, by artificially by playing upon people's fears and creating some of those divisions.
Yeah, no, they intentionally tried to exacerbate the divisions through things like promoting some of the more extreme statements that they attributed to Black Lives Matter and images, even if they weren't.
Right.
But they literally would put, it was like counter-programming. So you would do Black Lives Matter and the most extreme things that Black Lives Matter actually didn't do, but you would pretend that they did, and you'd put it in front of people who were anti, you know, had either racist tendencies or, you know, extremely right wing.
And the same way going back, making the right wing stuff seem even worse than it was.
Right. Although that's hard. It was pretty bad.
When it comes right down to it, Democrats and Republicans want the same thing. They want freedoms, you know, kind of like free to be you and me. More after this on 720 WGN. I made it corny.
Nice.
Fail it. You want to know my secret?
Yes.
I'm always freaking out.
No, I don't blame you.
Wait a minute. That's not right. I'm always angry.
The world is a place that's going to keep you freaked out and keep you angry.
Well, you know, the good news is that's why we always have music on Friday nights to sort of, you know, keep the energy going in different directions. You never know what's going to happen, although you kind of do because every Friday night we play What's That From. Roger Badish has pulled a script for us, and we'll read that after the 12:30 news. None of us know what movie this is from, so that should be fine. We will destroy a Roger, is this a classic movie? Do we know, is Roger around? I'm sure it's a classic movie that we will destroy for you so you can never watch it the same way again. So we'll have fun doing that after the 12:30 news. But first, it's time for some more live music from our good friend Ralph Covert, who is live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Here he is playing from his, and yes?
Oh, good. No, it's just waving. I was like,
yeah, hi, is Ralph.
That's a good idea. I'm going to go live on my feed, too.
All right, let's go live on your feed. Okay, I'll be live on my feed.
Okay.
I'm going to just go and fix my bangs a little bit on the Facebook Live.
Good.
He's playing the title track from his new album live from Deadsville. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So this is an interesting. So the album is called Live on WGN, and I'm going to go. I'm going to hand this to you.
The album's called Live on WGN.
Yes.
Wow.
No.
Wait a minute.
Synergy.
Okay. So just push live. In. Okay. So album is called Welcome to Deadsville.
Oh, Welcome to Deadsville.
Welcome to Deadsville. Mm-hmm. The idea was people talk about I was in a dark place. I was in a bad place in life, right? And the idea hit me. What if that was a real place? And even better, what if it was like a tourist destination? And so then what I did on the album is I took a bunch of songs kind of exploring kind of the range of emotions in life. I think these days our society does a terrible job of teaching us to process like the non-Facebook emotions, if I could. You know, like fear, anger, depression, substance abuse, all these things. So the album is trying to open a conversation about some of those real life issues. So
excellent.
So we're going to start with the title track, which is Welcome to Deadsville, and go to this crazy tourist resort of pain.
Here we go. Take it away.
Take it away, right? Okay.
Come along on a journey to a place that you never meant to be. You'll recognize a lot of faces, a lot of places that you never thought you'd see. In the morning without warning, while you're yearning for all you've lost, you'll get off the bus and join us in Deadsville. Roads come in from all directions, from depression, from repression and regret. You might think you would remember how you got here, but once here you will forget. You may try chasing vacationers in case they'll lead you home, but they really don't know they're stuck here in Deadsville. Welcome to Deadsville. There are rain clouds but no showers. There are minutes but no hour hands. The maps have no directions and the stories make no sense. The flowers bloom but fade too soon, and strangers fill your loved ones' rooms. The food has lost its flavor, and your debt spares no expense. Still, the bad news never ends. There is snowfall in the summer, and the children feel no wonder. There are no stairs to walk on, only floors that disappear, leaving you falling through midair back into Deadsville. Deadsville. You may stay here an hour till the power of the darkness starts to fade. There may be years of illusion. Your confusion is a choice that you have made. You may have a drink because you think you can escape, but when you awake, you'll still be in Deadsville. Until your healing starts revealing all the pain you've been concealing, make no mistake, until that day you'll have to stay in Are you renting or buying here in Deadsville? Are you quitting or trying here in Deadsville? Welcome to Deadsville. Welcome to your new home.
Covert with Welcome to Deadsville, the title of his newest album. And you can catch him. Where? What website should they visit to check out your schedule?
RalphCovert.com.
RalphCovert.com, traditional spelling, C-O-V-E-R-T.
Exactly.
Just thought I'd make sure. By the way, I wanted to make sure that there were some people that were chiming in about their transformative albums before we did any of our conversation about the news of the week. I'm under 30 years old, so I understand if you have never heard of this album. A transformative album for me was Modest Mouse's We Were Dead Before. Oh no, I don't know what the rest of this text was. We Were Dead Before? I don't know what the rest of the... Does that sound familiar to anybody? Michael,
Is that Float On? Is Float On off that album? It's a great song.
No, it's We Were Dead Before the Sink Even Sank. It's a fantastic album by Modest Mouse. It was one of his first ever, and really we would put him on the map after his 2004 release.
Oh, there you go. Was that your text?
No, but I'm right there with whoever texted that in. That's a great album.
Here it is. It was one of the first times when I realized that I could like music that my parents didn't care for. Up to that point, my musical tastes were more or less limited to theirs. And that happens to a lot of people.
It does.
I think so.
I'm very worried about Eli because of that, because he tends to have my musical tastes. I'm like, no, what have I done to that poor boy? Ralph, stuff aside.
You started one with Ralph's World,
yeah,
so
exactly.
There you go.
There you go. From the 630, the Beatles' Rubber Soul was my first album. My Christmas gift when I was 10 in 1965. I played it over and over and over while singing the words until I knew every word. I do remember my mom nicely saying, okay, Jerry, just one more time, then that's it. Gosh, I still love that album and could sing every word to every song to this day. That's Jerry in Aurora. So thank you for sharing your thoughts about your transformative albums from when you were kids. Coming up after the news, we will transform a classic movie that you'll never be able to watch the same way again. We don't know what it is. Maybe you do. 312-981-7200. Coming up after the news, we'll play What's That From? You'll have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics. But first, it is time for news. Who's doing our... is it still... Okay. Why is Roger? Okay.
I'm here, but it's like Andrea usually does the 12:30, and I do the 1.
Okay.
So it's kind of switched over since she joined you.
So playing the role of Andrea Darvis tonight is David Jennings.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
A moment during our show where we take a classic movie and destroy your ability to watch it the same way ever again. You have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics when you know What's That From. However, Roger, we're a little bit concerned.
Yes.
None of us,
this is a good one.
Oh, okay. Yes. So, fingers crossed.
Let's put it this way. You know the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the typical scene from this movie that normal people would know it from. And I'll tell you why.
Yes.
I'll tell you why. Because I pulled this a couple of weeks ago to prepare. I wanted to work ahead for you.
Thank you.
And this scene actually has two female roles in it. And so I couldn't pick the typical scene that would have given it away.
Yes, I know that you are always very gender specific in the casting. You're not comfortable with anybody playing. Like, before we started doing this on Friday nights, mm-hmm. I have actually done the role of in A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth!
Yes.
Because we just felt that that was something that I could do.
Yes.
So I did play that Jack Nicholson role before. I'm just saying, you don't always have to find it.
And just so you know, Roger, not all of us know this movie or have ever seen this movie.
Yes.
And by not all of us, Dave means
all of
none
us.
Of us have any idea what this movie is about. Yes. None of us could give you a sentence about this movie.
I did.
But
when this is over, you will know what it is.
Okay. Well, after
we're because we've never seen it.
All right.
Okay.
Take your best shots, everybody. 312-981-7200. When you know what's that from, give us a call and you'll have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics. All right, Roger, take it away.
Interior DuPeo dining room, nighttime. Nicholas DuPeo sits at the head of the table, being fed his dinner by a male nurse. Bobby, at the opposite end of the table, is seated next to Tito. Unable to bear looking at his father, he glances over at Catherine, seated next to Carl on his right. She raises her eyes from her plate to ask him something, just as Tita is moved to reminisce.
Remember, Bobby, what Mother used to say when...
How long you have been? Oh, squeeze me!
No, it's all right. You go ahead.
Misa was just going to ask Robert how long he's been away from here.
4 or 5 years.
No, the last time was 3 years ago.
Oh, no, it's been much more than that.
Away from the piano, Tita. You have no sense of time at all.
I don't think that's true.
It's true.
Besides being very rude.
What has you been doing since then?
What have I been doing? Different things, different jobs, here and there. Nothing that interesting.
And you shall no longer play at all?
Bobby starts to reply and is interrupted by...
You know, just after I came back off tour with the Bettenthaler Quartet, Dad, myself, and Herbert had a summit conference about you.
Oh my, a summit conference. I wonder where I was, polishing silver behind the coal bin.
I don't know where you were, penis envy.
I hope I didn't hear that.
At any rate, Dad wanted to hire a private detective to ferret you out, and I said, what for? What the hell's he doing? Even if it's a completely wasteful escapade, it's entirely his business. Simple as that.
Well, I really appreciate it, Carl.
I don't think you should infer Daddy was wrong in front of him.
She looks at Spicer, pushing a spoon at Nicholas's closed mouth.
Don't force him like that, Spicer.
Spicer lays the spoon down and begins eating his own dinner.
How long have you been staying here?
A couple of months.
He starts to ask another question and is again overridden.
Did you hear about my misfortune, Robert?
What?
It's still nearly impossible for me to turn my neck. If I wanted to turn toward Catherine, for instance, I'd first have to twist the whole base of my body around... like this.
Tita gets up from the table and, taking her plate, exits to the kitchen. And as Carl readjusts himself in his chair and takes a sip from his wine glass, Bobby looks at Catherine to find her looking at him. She quickly alters her gaze to Carl.
Me some more than mine doing a little work, if you're finished and not too tired.
No, I'm finished. Satiety is my father and mother.
Finding he's amused himself and nobody else, he gets up and addresses Bobby.
She's tremendously gifted, this girl.
Is she?
Catherine stands up and wanting to change the subject.
Excuse me, Misa don't want to hear this.
Somebody's snorting.
She exits and Carl, on his way out, passes Bobby's chair.
I hope you feel at home, Robert. I'm very glad you're here.
Hey, Michael, can you...
Thanks, Carl.
I just sent you a link to a movie scene. We've got no calls. For the first time that we've played this game, we've got no calls, no guesses, not a single one. Nobody's got a guess. Maybe Bill's got an answer. Oh, let's see if Bill's got it. Let's see what Bill says. If Bill doesn't, you got to fire that scene that I just sent to you. Hey, Bill, what's that from, Bill?
You know, I saw that movie. Like, I watched it a couple of weeks ago. It's Five Easy Pieces.
Holy oh my
wow. God! Elliot's performance as Jar Jar Binks gave it away, didn't it?
You guys are great.
Oh, jeez. See, and I the whole time I just wanted to say, hold it between your knees. But no. Can you say that with Jar Jar Binks' voice, please?
Misa, hold it between my knees.
The fact that a listener was able to figure that out is just tremendously amazing.
Yes.
I should get like two gift cards.
He gets a gift card from Apt Electronics. Bill, at what point did you know what that was from, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. I remember the name Carol and, well, I just remember the guy named Carol.
And do you remember Jar Jar Binks?
The last couple of weeks, I would have never got it.
All right. Fair enough. We'll haul on the line, and Michael will get your information so we can send out a gift card from Apt Electronics. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. I've never seen it.
And you doubted me.
I was getting nervous because usually people are texting or calling, and I was ready to. I had Michael ready to fire up that that scene from the movie, but no.
Actually, Roger, I didn't doubt you. I just doubted Elliot.
Oh, really?
I doubted you.
I didn't think you was really going to do it as Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, you said you were going to do Yoda, and you backed out.
Well, I did. Yeah. Like, because you kept cracking me up, and I couldn't maintain my Yoda.
I doubted Roger at the end when he was cracking up, and I had to read the narrator's part in my best Roger voice.
Yes, that's now two parts you stepped in for tonight. You stepped in for Ken Jacobowski, and then you stepped in for Roger Banish.
Yes. Amazing. Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes. Way to step up to the plate.
You so one bomb bad dude.
Now, since none of us in the studio, and I'm going to guess that Michael as well has not seen Five Easy Pieces, what is it that you like so much? I mean, I know that it's a movie that's a classic. I've always seen that scene where they're in the diner and he's ordering chicken and he's getting annoyed with the waitress. What makes a Five Easy Pieces such a good movie, Roger, that you chose it?
Well, it's early Jack Nicholson, so he hadn't gotten into his typical acting bits that he does where he becomes Jack Nicholson instead of the character in the movie. And the movie itself, he plays a concert pianist. It's in this little dinky town. He's controlled by his father, and it's just a very different type of movie.
All right. Are you watching? Do you have HBO, Roger?
I can get some HBO on my Amazon Prime.
Okay, because the series Sharp Object is really good. And it seems like it has a similar theme in the fact that there's a woman who has a very controlling mother. She goes back to her hometown. She's a journalist who's struggling with her childhood, and something that's happened now brings her back home to cover the story. So
interesting.
Yeah, Sharp Object is such a good series.
Yeah. We're finishing up Endeavor.
And what's Endeavor?
At least we're catching up to it. If you knew the PBS series Inspector Morse.
Ah, yes.
This is Morse when he just starts out in Oxford. And everything that goes to is a very young police detective. And it's excellent.
Ah,
well
awesome.
Written.
Right, now, what are you watching, Elliot? Have you been catching up on any series?
I started, I'm going to start the new Castle Rock series on Hulu. Because Hulu is the new binge, that giving you a free month trial. So the new Stephen King and J.J. Abrams series, Castle Rock, is started.
Yeah,
so
I've been seeing a lot of ads for that.
Yeah. And then, yes, of course, the Amy Adams HBO show. I want to see that Sasha Baron Cohen.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Sasha Baron Cohen doing this to? I mean, so far it's been conservatives that he has humiliated or exposed them or kind of cajoled them into doing things they probably wouldn't do or want to share with the world. Including bearing your buttocks to scare off terrorists and using the N-word. And
apparently he did a bit with Dick Cheney.
Uh-huh. He did.
In which he talked about getting them to take dick pics.
Okay.
He did. I've seen both episodes.
Real, like, not like his, like, because his name is... Richard.
Dick. Yes.
Right.
Right. But actual anatomical
parts. No. They, you know.
Oh, okay. That's
and Dick Cheney.
Nobody needs to see
Thank
that.
God.
And Dick Cheney, frankly, didn't seem like he kind of got the joke. He did also ask him about how Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face.
Right.
And Dick Cheney had a pretty good kind of political answer. It's amusing. There have been a couple of people.
So uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. It's the same reason why I struggle watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's just
yes,
so uncomfortable.
Me too. Yeah.
But it can be very funny. There have been a couple of segments where he's really kind of punching down this woman who's on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and this woman who, but you know, the people who he is humiliated with, like the anti-gun the giving guns to the kindergarten guardians.
Right?
It was, you know, these people say, "Oh, I was set up." It's like, you know, you have agency. You don't have to read something that somebody has handed to you. You could say, you know what, I don't think we should give guns and, you know, rocket launchers to 4-year-olds.
Right. After.
Yes.
Yes. After Joe Walsh read whatever script it was, didn't he think, you know, that's probably not what I want to have out there. Maybe I should talk to somebody about.
And the crazy thing about how he read it is, you know, he was given a script and he kind of put his full on Joe Walsh punching it up. Repeating some phrases like he says this one phrase, he said, in just four weeks, we can take a 4-year-old and turn them into a, you know, well-trained. So he's punching it up on him, you know,
right.
himself.
Adding his own emphasis.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when the former mayor of Washington, D.C. Complained about the woman who set him up to do coke in the, you know, on tape, and which he later got arrested for. It's like
Marion Barry.
Yeah, Marion Barry. Thank you. Yes. You know, yes, you may have been set up, but nobody put a gun to your head and say you must snort the coke.
Right.
Nobody puts a gun to Joe Walsh's head and says you must say it's great for 4-year-olds to be trained to use firearms and hand grenades. People are very and that's obviously the whole point of it. But I'm with you, Mike. I find that stuff way too uncomfortable. I don't watch it.
I don't enjoy it at all.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, nobody needs to be humiliated. And I think there are Democrats coming up. I think Howard Dean is going to be on soon.
Bernie Sanders was on.
He didn't really do a heck of a lot with him. Ted Koppel was on. He basically said, I'm done. This is like kind of fake. I'll tell you a show that my kids have gotten into recently is The Office. So they're like super into it.
Everyone's getting into The Office now off of Netflix.
My kids could repeat every line from every episode because my wife, God bless my wife, she's not listening because she's sound asleep, but she loved exposing my kids to The Office. And I would occasionally say to her, honey, do you think it's appropriate to expose 7-year-old Max to this stuff?
What do you think about like Parks and Rec for 7-year-olds?
Same thing. That was the next series after they watched The Office 15 times.
Right.
Then they watched Parks and Rec 15 times.
And you know, there's a bar in town that's doing a Office pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Lincoln
Isn't that
Park,
like just going to an office?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird.
But yes.
I do an office pop-up every day.
I think Stranger Things did a great pop-up bar. That's the best one I've seen. They did a wonderful job. They had the music. They had the set. They had great drinks. It was a lot of fun. I don't watch The Office. So.
Yeah, and did you go to the one, the pop-up for, what was the stupid show?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell,
one,
yeah.
I didn't watch the show, so I didn't go to the
pop-up. I didn't watch
You never watched Saved by the Bell?
I watched it a couple times. Like
that
maybe.
Was like... The acting in that show was amazing.
Well, when we come back, let's act like we have something good to say. Let's tell me something good when we come back. It's the Patty Baskett Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off, but she'll be back on Monday. More in a moment on 720 WGN.